What's up, world? It's Spotty Wi-Fi, the king of the crypto punks, and you are now tuned in to Fired Up on the Blockchain with my guy, Travi. I get a little
fired up. I'm like, Travi, come on now. Like, you got this under control.
What's up? It's your Web3 bestie, Liz Morrison, and I'm Toy Encendida en la cadena de bloques con Travi.
Yo, it's your boy Nessie Dorilla from the east to the west. You already know who does it best. We fired up on the blockchain with Travi. Let's go.
Yo, what's up? It's G Love, and I'm fired up with Travi.
Yeah. I'm Juliet from the So Cool Girls, and I'm fired up with Travi.
What up, y'all? This is Sammy Ariaga. I'm fired up on the blockchain with Travi.
I'm Ray Isla, and I'm fired up on the blockchain with Travi.
Hi, I'm Leah from Power of Women, and I'm fired up with Travi.
This is OSF, and I'm getting wrecked with Travi.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and degens, for the thousands in attendance and the millions listening in podcast land, my name is Travi, and we are fired up on the blockchain.
Hey, Travi, let's effing go. I get a little
fired up. Woo! Welcome back to Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi. And as you can tell by now, I decided to make this a two-part episode. The birthday celebration was too big to contain in one episode. And also, with four Twitter spaces to whittle down into one podcast, that was just a whole lot of content. But we're going to bring to you today the second half. And this is actually a great time because not only is it the Ape's birthday, but as this comes out, a very special happy birthday to today's guest as well, the one and only Brian Fanzo. Happy birthday. So let's get into part two of Happy Birthday with the AI Apes. So let's get into it.
And I know, Fanzo, you and Kin have had a relationship through the AI. I know that you and Sharp and Joe and Photox have had a bond through the AI community and the Apes specifically. And you have your own venture out right now with your AI art, which, as I mentioned earlier, the logo to my podcast and my PFP is actually AI art that you created. And that's why I think that this is a great space, because it does celebrate not just AI as an art tool, but different types of creators out there who do have something that they want to share, that they want to show. And they do want to use AI as a tool to do it. And they lean in. They lean into it. And that's what Kin did probably before a lot of other people were comfortable even thinking about doing that. So, Fanzo, welcome to the stage up here with the Apes. We're celebrating the 1 year birthday. They're turning one. Still in diapers, but still growing. We're here with Sharp Duck and Retail Joe. Fanzo, welcome to the stage.
Well, thanks for having me. And I don't believe that the art that is the NFT or that is your podcast logo it would have existed at the time that it existed if it wasn't for Kin and this project. So I think just out of the gate, you know, for me, when people talk about the ROI of an NFT project or, you know, why do you get into certain things? The context, you know, a year ago right now, we were in free mint hell, if everybody remembers. Like, I have like 16 wallets that I just started creating wallets and minting, thinking that like $200 a gas was worth these random free mint projects. And I did the same with this project. I didn't even originally want to put it into my collection for Mint 365, because when I went into the Discord, I was like, oh God, this feels like a rug. There's a whole lot of middle fingers going on. Like, I was completely, you know, and I didn't have enough time to kind of like dive in. But I remember part of what like blew my mind was the actual creativity of the drop. And I think, like, you know, as much as the AI art is amazing and beautiful, and I owe a lot to Kin and this project and so many people in here for kind of inspiring me to take some of my own storytelling this direction, I probably wouldn't have started a Midjourney probably till version 4, thinking back, if I wasn't exposed to it from this project. I got to try it on version 2 of Midjourney, and holy hell, have we come a long way in that sense. But like, the art is one thing, but like, when the initial drop happened, and Sharp or Joe can correct me if I'm wrong, but like the art started changing, like what you minted and revealed, it was actually changing. And I remember being like, what in the hell is going on? Like I'm getting my art is changing. And I remember all of a sudden I started right click saving. And then I started realizing, wait a second, I'm now the thing that I hate is I'm right click saving art. But it was because like certain ones that I got were changing. And now looking back about it, like that was innovative as hell, because if you think about it, for those of us that were part of that early spot, we got to see a taste of not only her willingness to try different things. I mean, zero people had done that. I mean, and I can say that pretty damn affirmative because I've been buying so many NFTs. No one was trying that concept out of like, hey, I'm just going to reveal some of these and I'm going to take them away and I'm going to rotate them and I'm not really going to give answers, and it created this like buzz. And I remember jumping into, and I give a lot of credit to these two gentlemen that are on stage, as well as a couple of other people that were, you mentioned earlier, is like a lot of people in this community took the lead and just said like, we want to talk about the art. We want to talk about this project. And I remember it like wholeheartedly. I was on the way to a soccer game with my daughters for a professional soccer game we were going to watch. And I saw the Twitter spaces pop up and I was like, oh, I got to see what the hell, I minted a bunch of these damn AI apes. I got to figure out what's going on with this project. And it was in that, like, just listening to these, like, community members being not only appreciating her art at the time. I don't even think it was a her at the time. It was just the art at the time. There was also just, like, an appreciation for the creativity. And I will tell you, like, as a year old project, the innovation has lived on in every aspect, right? It's not just innovative because of the AI art. It's an innovative, like, they have a swap zone, right? Like, right now, I have, like, 12 of my NFTs listed, 12 of my AI apes listed, at 0.08, not because I want to sell them, not because I don't like the art or the NFT, but as an opportunity of possibly being selected to have newer versions created. And funny enough, like one of mine sold this morning and I was like, oh, I guess I probably shouldn't have listed that one. I hadn't like refreshed it. And if you think about that from like, just take a zoom out quick, Travi, you and I talk a lot about like, what does attention look like in this space? What does creativity look like in this space? What does innovation look like in this space? Like what is like if an artist isn't getting the royalties, how can we continue to support an artist or see how the genius behind the artist? And like for me, I think it was Joe that you just said, like, I mean, I for one, like I still love my very first AI apes that I ever got that like were finally stopped rotating and became mine. Like those version ones that I had were just like, there was something pure about them, because when you zoomed in, and just for context, I can speak to this as an AI artist, and I've done over 50,000 AI images now since Kin. I should probably blame Kin for a lot of my time that I've wasted in the last year, not wasted, time that I've spent in the last year. But I can tell you, the ability to, because this isn't just out of the box, stick a prompt in, copy a bored ape, right? The layers within layers, but also the shadowing. And I, for one, like I never tried to copy or to compete with Kin, but over Christmas time, about 6 months ago or so, I was like, you know what? Now that I'm really good with AI art, I wonder if I can do some of the layering and some of the things that Kin is doing with this art. And I will tell you, I failed pretty miserably in that layer of what, like where she's able to take extreme detail and blow things up and edit, kind of after the fact. And so for me, the art speaks to a lot. The art also kind of like resembles culture, right? Because, we had the Bored Apes and the Mutant Apes, but how many other, expansion projects and all those other things existed. So for me, I love, Travi, that you're doing this and highlighting this, great project. I would also just say the people in this project, the people that are active in this project are some of the most genuine, down to earth, like very cool people that like you would want to hang out with. And we got to hang out with in New York. And I can't say that about every NFT project. And Trev, this, like, just in our conversations, right? Like there are projects that like draw people in that are good people. And yes, people are still here to make money. Yes, people want, floor go up. but there's also just like a different core element of this group. A lot of it has to do with the, you know, they take on and do a lot of these spaces. They allow Kin to do what she loves to do most, which is create art. Like, which is like, imagine if every project, you know, Travi, all of your music NFTs that you love to support and you have bags full of them. Imagine if how many of those communities could benefit from having community members like this one that really took on such a leadership role in like social and spaces and narrative and Discord, so that the artists could be like, you know, what they do the best. And so I'm a big believer. I love the project. I love the people in the project. Of course, big fan of Kin, and you know, she's been on the podcast, I believe, 3 times now total. You know, sharing her kind of vision and view on AI and a couple other things. But I will say, more so than anything else, this is a project that people should jump in and hold and try to mimic some of the creativity, the really innovation that lives within and around this project, because this is where we will see projects that want to survive are going to have to go. And I think most of them are going to have to copy some of the things that, you know, the AI apes have done for, you know, well over a year. So love that you're in here. You know, I am very thankful, you know, like my whole AI art journey, you know, my art is now in Deepak Chopra's collection. And to say that out loud is still weird. But to think a year ago, I minted a free mint that I thought was a rug that exposed me to this idea of becoming an artist. And I now can say my art has been seen in Times Square. And for me, prior to this project, like AI art to me was just like it was almost like something that you slapped. I mean, funny enough, I probably have, like, if someone's listening to this that has no exposure to AI art, I probably have the same feeling that they have right now. Like, so just like context. And I remember looking at this and I was like, oh, it's a Bored Ape derivative. I was like, I think Delphi and I were on a conversation. I said, do we need another damn ape? Like, I mean, every project had some version of apes. And then I remember looking into the art. I'm like, wait a second. Like, look within, like, it's a, like, if you zoom in on the hat, it's a city, and you zoom in even further, there's like buildings within a city on a hat that is like flames behind it. And like, all of a sudden I realized, like, wait a second, this is allowing like a layered creativity that I didn't even know was possible. And I've worked in AI, you know, since 2014 with IBM and doing some stuff with them. But like, I wasn't like, I was very naive to the, what even AI art was. And so, you know, I tried out a prompt. And I was still really confused because I was like, well, what the hell do I do with this now? Like, I got 4 outputs and I was like, well, that's cool. And then the more I kind of delved in and the more Kin shared, like, you know, the art, and I started thinking like, wow. And I think for anyone that's like listening too, like, and you mentioned this, and this was beautiful, Travi, like we have to take a step back and say, like, we as consumers, we as owners of NFTs, like, we as consumers of art, we get to decide what we think is valuable, what we think is impactful. And we shouldn't let anyone tell us what is valuable or impactful. I mentioned, like, this project, AI Apes, will forever have a place in my heart because it empowered something within me that I didn't even know I had. And now I'm being introduced as an artist. Like, how wild is that? It also has allowed me to connect with, like, I will call many people in this project. You know, I could probably list off 30 or 40 people that hold AI apes that I consider friends, that I will retweet, that if they're sharing something that I will dive into. And so I think for anyone that's like, and I think maybe even you, Travi, kind of taught me this early on, like, you were way more into the art scene and the music scene than I was when you and I first met. And I remember being like, what are you doing with OG Collective? And what are you doing with, like, you started like these other artists. And I was like, you know, I felt like I was like, whoa, I don't really know art. Like, I've heard of Van Gogh. Like, that was my like version. Like, I say that like jokingly, but to your point, like, I think we can all, like, we should probably take a step back now across all of our projects, between everything that we hold or everything that we're spending our time on, and just like ask ourselves, like, what can we deem as value from these things and be proud of that? Because just because someone else thinks floor goes up is the only ROI doesn't mean it has to mean that to us. And just because someone else doesn't appreciate AI art, which I think that narrative is changing now, but I think we can all kind of take that on ourselves. So I to me, that's where I'll throw it back to you, Travi. I think the project itself, the people in this project, I mean, you have 2 of them up here on the stage right now, but I mean, the depths of the people that are very active in this project, there's people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, and they really are just caring, giving people that came together around an AI art that many of us thought was a rug. I mean, it's kind of a cool story, and I think there are people across the NFT space that would kill to have found a home and a project like this. And crazy enough, it was during free mint season, a year ago, which is kind of cool. So yeah, happy birthday to all the AI Apes holders now and all of those that were kind of along on the journey. And I think this is just such a cool, innovative, kind of roller coaster we've all been on. And I think in the future, we're going to look back at projects like this one and be like, damn, I wish I got into that. I wish I held that. I wish I was part of that scene. And I see Drew's in here. Drew loves the historic NFTs, right, Trevi? We give Drew a hard time. He always, I'm like, I hold some of these ones in my bag. And I'm like, he's like, oh, the historic ones are good. These like random skulls and these cats from years ago. Well, if you appreciate that, and if you're on the Drew train for that, then you would appreciate this project, because of all of the AI projects that kind of rolled out during this one period, this is the one that, the people that are talking about that still hold and that is still thriving. So back over to you, Trevi.
Yeah. And you know what's funny, man? You mentioned having like ape derivatives. I do want to touch on that for a second, because in September, I believe on my podcast, I had somebody who's very involved with the Bored Ape Yacht Club, works with the ApeCoin DAO, does a whole lot of stuff. We know him from the OG Collective. Great guy in space. Got to meet him in real life. And in the podcast interview, when he was talking about the marketplace that he was building, I asked him at the time, I was like, we're talking a lot about BAYC or BASY, right? We're talking about ape life. We talked about Ape Fest. We talked about lots of stuff. And I was just like, what are your thoughts about ape derivative projects? Like, to me, it's okay if you have picture of this or picture of that, but like, we don't need, for example, Yacht Club at the end of everything. And I was just, it was kind of like a tongue in cheek thing just to see if he'd bite. But as a good guy, I know that he wouldn't necessarily trash any project, nor did I want to. But I'll tell you what he did say. He's like, yeah, there's a lot out there, but there's one I think is really fun, and that's the AI apes. And that came from somebody who's down with the Bored Apes, down with their ApeCoin DAO, down with everything that they've got going on. And so that says a little something, because I wasn't expecting that. But I was happy to hear it, because our good friends are working on the team. And I know how hard they all work. And I know how much Kin does with the art, as you mentioned, changing the art and doing all types of stuff. Sharp and Retail Joe did mention earlier what happens if you're kind of sitting there in that drop zone. So before we head into that part of the conversation, I wanted to see if Sharp or Joe, if you have anything that you wanted to say to Fanzo before we took it to what happens when the art still to this day could change if it's listed in a certain range.
I want to add just a little bit. Obviously, Fanzo isn't an isolated case. Because we were so early,
one of the first AI... Are you saying I'm not special?
No, you know what I mean. You're special. But you weren't the only one who started to try with an AI. Other people tried it as well. Because we were so early, I think everyone... A lot of people wanted to, especially at first. And as Fanzo said, he got on the early Midjourney ones. Midjourney wasn't that good. Some of the other apps weren't that great. So people didn't really, at first, didn't do that much. They tried, but it wasn't very good. And then, after, we've seen that progression of the AI art scene, because we were all involved a year ago when those apps were, as I said, not that great. And we've seen, obviously, this progression of Midjourney coming available, and the amount of our community, we've had probably like 6, maybe even 7 different projects that have spawned from AI projects spawned from people in our community, like including Fanzo, but we've had like a couple of other, I think it's 6, maybe 7. It just showed the love that everyone was so desperate to try it. And as soon as things like Midjourney, where it was getting to really good quality, they all jumped on it. And you still get it now, people like Curry, one of our community members, never released anything as a project, just loves creating it. And they'll be splatting in Ascension, who's just joined us as well. We've got an AI art channel, and they'll just be sharing their art in there. And it's amazing to see that progression of everyone else's art as well, and the progression of the tools available that have happened over the last year.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in here as the arts educator, and Fanzo, I'm just proud of you, man. I'm proud that you gave yourself the artistic license and the freedom to let yourself create something with a, you know, maker mentality and all of your background to just say, I'm going to try this and give it my all. I'm excited for you to grab the reins of being a visual artist. A lot of my spaces always went a little deep on the art. You know, they're like Joe's sensible art space on Thursdays is typically how it all shook out. But I think you see the benefit of making art and how it can make your life better and make people that you care about and other people that maybe are going through things, especially with a lot of your imagery based on, the sort of neurodivergent, themes that you have running through your own personal story. I think art is a way for people's lives to be better. And I think AI is an incredible tool for that. And I'm just proud of you for you being a person and doing that, and also for your advocacy for it in general.
Well, thank you, my friend. And I will say, sitting in your spaces, with your background and looking at you as like an authority in the space, especially as an educator, right? Yourself and Travi both being educators. We have a duck and two educators here, and Graham. So I'm not going to leave Graham off the bus. We have Grandma. I mean, this is a heck of a, I love this stage. But I will say, Joe, that's just another example too. Like, I don't know if I don't think I cross your path in your expertise and your knowledge if it wasn't for this project. And like hearing how you talked about things and how you looked at things, like it helped me have ammo to defend my own AI art as I was exploring. And for anyone that's tried anything new, part of the whole thing of trying something new is like when someone questions you on it, if you don't know how to respond or defend, even if you love it, it puts you in a really uncomfortable space. And I will say, anyone out there that like does that to others, let's try to like not be that person that is like, aren't you stealing people's art? Like, rather than like us saying that, like, let's actually change the narrative and be like, oh, what about this is so exciting for you? What, let's change the point of that. But I will say, like, Joe, I give you a lot of credit and from a lot of the things that you would share and the way that you would bring things in and even the feedback you would give me after interviewing some artists, it allowed me to, I think, step into the AI art as an artist with a lot more confidence. And that's because, of this community kind of bringing us all together. So I appreciate the kind words and I throw those kind words right back at you because that's the whole part of this journey, because it is freaking scary trying something new and putting something new out into the world, especially something creative. But having people that are in your corner and people that you can kind of like lean on, it makes that whole scary journey, a heck of a lot, more exciting. So thanks, Joe. I appreciate that.
I mean, you talk about scary. I mean, look, I'm up here on a stage full of Grammy Award winners. I mean, you got Travi, you got Fanzo, Jilly was in here. I mean, like this stage, what's called was in here earlier too. This stage is stacked, man. And shout out to the other Norman in the room. But actually, so I hosted the Grammys, right? I was lucky enough to be honored by the Web3 Besties to go ahead and do that, because I don't create art, but I like to kind of create a community. And so actually the funny thing is, the reason why I had to get up here is because I'm actually one of those people that kind of, much as you don't want to see the yacht club at the end of so many projects, it kind of dilutes the brand a little bit, some people would say, I kind of feel that AI kind of allows to, for art to be diluted, But I will be, and I'm not saying that wholeheartedly, because actually the Grammy that I presented you guys with, that actual trophy that's there, and it's in the clip that I pinned up to the top, was actually my first time ever using AI to do something, and it was minted on the blockchain. So actually that's pretty funny. But congratulations to all you, and happy birthday to the AI Apes, man. I mean, yeah, you guys are killing it, and I love the story. It's beautiful, and I'm glad that we share. I'm glad that we're both Geminis, I just had a birthday last week, so congratulations to you all.
Oh, happy birthday, Graham. I know Fanzo's is coming up in like a week and a half. So, yeah, and twin power right there, the two of you guys. And, if anyone's not following Graham, we call him the Web3 Oprah. You know, you never know what gram is going to drop into your wallet. He drops some really fun things every now and again from projects that he supports a lot. And that takes us back. I think, you know, so my first AI ape, my first ape, you know, there were a bunch I wanted to purchase over the course of the last, I don't know, 6 to 8 to 12 months. But I got to tell you guys, like, when you get busy with things and you're starting your own stuff and then obviously the podcast, like certain things like that, it's like, oh, they'll still be there. They'll still be there. But my first ape that I got was actually dropped to me from the ape team. And to me, that makes it even that much more special. But listen, Sharp Duck, we know the ape slogan. I can't say it here because it's a family-friendly podcast, but you know what it is. We run this ape beep. So, you know, to have you on here and for me to have gotten my first one directly from you and the team, I think is very, very special. But something else that's really special is leaving NFT NYC. I was talking with some friends, and shout out to Sparks and DV Dan. I know you guys met them in real life on a couple of different occasions. And they said, Travi, you gotta have these guys come on your podcast, because what they're doing with this whole kind of swapping out the art and the whole mechanism behind it is so far beyond what a lot of projects have even considered doing, that just give them a spot, give them a platform where they could speak about it. And I said, you know what? I already like the apes because they were you guys are an underdog story. You know, shout out to Fame Lady Society, who's in the house with us tonight too. Talk about underdog stories. Like, this is like going to be the third rise up, I guess, of the Fame Lady Society. So thank you guys for joining us. Yes. Yeah, especially my good friend Sparks, who's on that, you know, team, and Jilly and Nax, especially those three, for real, like people who I've been riding with for a while. But there's something about the underdog story that appeals to me. You know, maybe stuff I went through in my past to try to rise up from stuff. But apes, you guys are rising up from it, and you're actually continuing to reward holders who are buying and then also putting up their work, putting up their NFTs within a certain, I guess, what do you call it, the swap zone or the drop zone? I always call it the drop zone, but I think it's a swap zone.
Well, there's a few things. So, I mean, look, I think Joe mentioned it earlier that when Kin had the final reveal, firstly, we were used to reveals. You know, it was a bittersweet day. Oh, I've got these apes, but I was like, oh, they're never going to change. Like, I've had a month of these changing, and for me, it was bittersweet anyway. But Kin said then that she was going to put up, I think, 500 apes that she had spare. So, you know, if there's some that people didn't vibe with, she'd swap them. And that sort of, after some chat, she started at first just swapping some near the floor. So the, like, she might do like 20 or 30 that were listed near the floor that she wanted to swap. She didn't vibe with. She wasn't happy with that art because, like Joe said, over the month or so she'd been creating, it had come on like leaps and bounds. So there was also, at the same time, that we realised there were some points where she'd actually used the same base Bored Ape or Mutant Ape. Some of them in completely different like AI styles, but some of them were reasonably similar. So it became a point where she'd do swap-outs of lookalikes if people found them and requested them. But then also she'd do these random floor swaps. And that caused some problems where people were selling and were all of a sudden, the NFT they'd listed because they wanted to sell it, had sold, and they'd looked back and it was a laser eyes, because she swapped it and that's why it sold. But they sold it. They didn't want it. They wanted it then because it was a laser eye. So they got a bit annoyed. So we came up with having a swap zone, which it was 0.05 to 0.07. It's now 0.07 to 0.09. I will admit at the moment she doesn't do them often, the swap zones. They are a little bit rarer. But basically the premise being, if you list within that zone, she occasionally goes through and does a big change of them. And you know, you can delist if you're quick, if they're good, or you get sniped. So, you know, there'll be things like laser eyes, golds turn up, you know, really special apes and newer styles as her styles evolved. So that was sort of a big first start. And it's still going, as I said, not that often. She tends to focus now on bounty swaps. So basically she puts a list out in Discord, we try and tweet it as well, of like 5 or 10 apes that are near the floor. You buy them and then list them at 0.08, and they're basically a guaranteed swap. So when she does a swap day, we normally have a space, you know, she lets people know. So they all get refreshed, and you can either delist or you can get sniped. But if you get sniped, you know, you probably bought that for 0.027, I think the floor is at the moment, or say 0.03, you know, you've listed it at 0.08, so you've made a little bit of profit. So that has kept the reason that we are just an art based project with very little utility. You know, you can get your 5k images, but there's no staking and, you know, all stupid crazy stuff going on apart from the swaps. But the swaps have kept us fresh, and it's kept the art changing constantly throughout a year. We've seen different styles that she plays with, and she goes back to different styles. So there's sort of like floral, early florals, but then there's more recent ones where she's gone back, and they're completely different. So we've seen that evolution of her art through the swaps, but it's also given people a flip chance. You know, if you buy those bounties, I've got over 100 apes now, and a fair few of those was from me buying the floor, putting it in for swaps, and then hoping that they swap for something that everyone wanted to snipe. And, you know, it's kept not just the collection fresh, but it's kept it interesting. And I think, you know, a lot of projects, it's hard just as an art-based project to really keep interest, you know, really looking at second collections, other things like that. But with this, she's just evolved, her art is changing within the collection. So, yeah, it's something that we love. And I think it's something that, as you said, like Fanzo said, it's something that is unique. I've not seen anyone else do it. I'm surprised, because I do think that, you know, for a lot of projects where, you know, it gets a bit stale, you know, without much going on, whereas this is something that she can regularly do. And she loves making monkeys. Now, she just loves making them. Like, I don't think we can stop her now anyway, so we need to be able to show that art off. And, you know, and plus, the one fit, how many collections are a year old? One of our new people, Ascension, came in the other day, bought some bounties, got a swap for gold laser eyes. So he came in a year into a collection, bought an NFT for 0.025, and it turned into a gold laser eyes. Like, you can't do that in any collection that's a year old, because with that, you know, no one's dropping that near the floor. So, you know, it gives good entry points for new people as well.
Right. So the people who are looking at it from the Yuga or the Bored Ape community, you know, this is not something that somebody's trying to go and say, like, hey, we're trying to be like the Bored Apes. This is somebody saying, hey, look what we can do with AI. Like, we can do something that the culture completely understands, which is obviously is an ape, because that's one of the more recognizable PFPs that you can find in all of Web3, and, you know, to some degree IRL as well. And what she's doing with the AI to make it really funny and creative and keeps changing them is really innovative.
Yeah, there's one last kind of swap which came from, you know, a conversation we were just having about trying to keep things fresh with the core team, and we were like, what if we just put a random, you know, image of the, you know, the white monkey and do something fun for the community. Like, I was like, oh, that would, people would freak out. They'd have no idea what was going on, and this would just cause a ruckus, and that would be great. But what it turned into is that Ken recreated an AI. It looks more like the Alice in Wonderland white cat, but, you know, she drops these 10, usually in classes of 10, and they're a higher price point. But you get to create an ape with Ken one-on-one. There's a whole separate channel, and there's a communal Discord. We call it the Cave. And in that, those classes of the white monkey passes, you know, those individual holders are saying some of their favorite traits, or, you know, I'm into this. I think we've done 30, she's done around 39 of them so far. But what it's really turned into is an avenue for Kin to have new, you know, stimulus, new things to challenge herself. One of them was like Dina, who owns an ice cream shop. So one of Dina's ice cream, there's a couple ice cream cones on the top of the ape. And it's added something for Ken as an artist, you know, because one of the things I think artists struggle with is like, coming up with ideas. But now this is coming from the community directly to give her something to challenge herself, to push. A lot of the newer styles have come through her exploration that's happened because of these White Monkey passes. And the community just loves it. Meeting with the Sparks and Dan that night was really awesome. You know, the thing that I think about with the swaps, which I think is really powerful, is that it's all in the same collection. It's all right at home. You don't have to go into a V1 and V2 and dilute the liquidity. You can just build back into the original collection through the swap mechanics. We call them swaponomics just because we like catchy names. But you know, through all of the different types of swaps that are possible.
Yeah, it's incredible. Fanzo, one thing that you and I have talked about too, and I know probably even before we talked about it, you must have mentioned it on your pod, is being able to reward your earliest holders. Because if you think about a lot of the projects that have come, a lot of the people, you know, I mean, look, I'm exhausted hearing how much Kin has to do. I got to be honest with you, because what we're used to seeing and what we're used to hearing are people coming in, dropping a project, and then just like, you know, letting the community kind of flip for it, and then maybe eventually coming out with, as much as I love them, a black hoodie and calling that the utility. But still, I mean, I joke about the black hoodie thing because I'm a black hoodie fan, but a lot of people are like, yo, that's not utility. Like, that's not the only utility NFT project should have. But fans are like, we've talked a lot about this, like rewarding your earliest holders, even for the journey. When you and I were talking about this, like, man, just like a little under a year ago, it was like, what can we do to drop something early that we can continue to reward people so they don't have to keep on buying more and buying more and buying more? What are your thoughts, just kind of like a little bit about what Retail Joe was just talking about with allowing some of the people who came in early to get some, you know, I guess, continued utility as it goes on?
Well, yeah, I mean, not only, you know, it's a thousand true fan idea, right? Like, how do I really reward? You know, we don't need 10,000 individual holders. If we over deliver and blow the minds of the 1,000 holders to each hold 10 of these, right? Or 11 of these in the case of AI Apes. But I also think, like, you know, on that same note, like, there's also like the onboarding and welcoming piece, right? And I just looked at the when Sharp said that someone new came in and bought one off the floor and it changed into a laser eye gold. I went and just looked at OpenSea and tracked down that piece. And I was like, damn, like, I don't have a laser eye gold. And I was in there early, but I also haven't bought one in the swaps where I could buy a bounty and put it back up. And so it's like, it's the ability to reward, like, even so, this is where I think we're going. You need to be able to give people the ability to play in this space, both passively and actively. And that is a harder thing said than done. I think most projects suck at it. Most projects are one or the other. It's, you know, like, I just realized that I missed a Goblin Town airdrop, which is a project that I'm active in. I wear their obnoxious hoodie on a regular basis. And somehow I missed the airdrop that went out the last 2 days. And like, to me, that's like ridiculous because I'm pretty active in that community. I was at VCon. I must have missed the memo about what was going on. But, you know, like, hey, that's fine. Like, there's, you know, there's, that's kind of, but like, in a weird way, like, that's a project. There has been no way to be active in that project. It's really just a passive hold, and then there's random things that are coming out. And so I think what, you know, the AI Apes have done really, really well is, like, there is, like, that creativity, right? The creativity on, you know, if you're a holder, you understand some of the mechanics. Like, if you're listening to this and it sounds way too complex, but you love the art, buy the art, go to mixtiles.com, put the art on your wall, and you've now got the value of the art and you can appreciate what the art means, right? Like, I think, like, there, that's the magic sauce here is, like, you know, passive and active. It also gives you the opportunity, like, if you want to, you know, participate in some of the Twitter spaces and hang out, you know, I'm not sure, you know, you have to get used to, you know, a duck with an accent and his own sense of humor, which, you know, he grows on you. If you haven't, you know, fell in love with Sharp Duck yet, he is a great human in this space. And one of my favorite, you know, characters, just all around great person in here, and has taken up a a leadership role even before it was a leadership role. I think he wanted a leadership role. I think he just really wanted Ken to give him a phone call. Like, so he was taking on a leadership role just for simply to be able to brag that everybody that he got the first phone call from Ken. But I say that like kind of tongue in cheek, but I also in like the sense of like, when I saw what, you know, Retail Joe and Photox and Jess, and I mean, there was a whole group of people that kind of jumped in this project and were taking on like really strong roles. That wasn't something I had time for, but I knew that I could support kind of in the, I'm going to participate actively, right? I will relist ones. I will track what's being bought and sold. But if I don't, if I haven't checked in a while, I'm perfectly okay with that. And funny enough, like Photox, who, you know, who's not here, but who's one, another great advocate. And, you know, Travi, you and I share many projects with Photox. You know, he's the one that messaged me, you know, during VCon. He's like, hey, I got notifications on for you for Twitter Spaces, and I'm not getting that notification anymore. Is Twitter glitching? Are you okay? Like, he was checking in on me. And I can't say that about like a lot of people that would be checking in on people that are just, you know, fellow holders of NFTs. And so that's kind of the beauty of the project, right? I mentioned the innovation, but like you can participate any way that you feel that you want to, and the options are there. And the project's also growing, right? They talked about, you know, the traits and the ability. Like right now, it's really hard to kind of like, you know, like, hey, I really like these ones that have, you know, this trait. It's kind of hard to figure that out because of the way the art was created. But I kind of liked that was hard to figure out. And now they're working through that, right? And they're working through that as a community. And like, think about that for anyone that, you know, hasn't bought an NFT project. I don't even know what 0.03 in ETH is, like what, $70 or $60 USD. I don't know how many pounds that is over there. I think you're pounds over there, right, Sharp? Or ruples or something. You have some kind of financial.
We measure it all in Pepe these days.
Pepe? Oh, I definitely actually I do know how much that is because I have about $63 of Pepe. So it's about my entire bag of Pepe. Because that's all I literally have invested. I invested $60 USD and it's worth $63.88 right now. So Pepe to the moon. And you have great art. You have the ability to, you know, participate in some of these, you know, kind of path, you know, active activities. You get to connect with others from different walks of life, but you also know that the project has a, like it has a pedigree of doing really creative things with like the monkeys. I almost said the cats, the white cats. Wow. I think it's a late day for me, but the monkeys. So yeah, Travi, I think that's, you know, for any, you know, you and I talk about this on with your project, and, you know, I think with any NFT project, like stale, it's not even projects getting stale. It's like some people want more, and it takes a lot to be able to give people more while also satisfying the other people. And I think, you know, the AI apes have done a great job on that. And I think, unfortunately, you know, unfortunately for those that hold big bags, but fortunately for everybody listening, you know, innovation and creativity still has yet to be rewarded in this space. I believe it will be. And that's, you know, do your own damn research. I'm not going to, you know, this isn't financial advice, of course, but like, I believe we're moving towards a place where it's not just utility, but it's like, hey, who are the innovative and creative projects that are doing things that excite me or that entertain me or that open doors. Like, you know, I've played poker, you know, the poker nights with this community with AI apes forever. Right. Like, and they've jumped into our Discord with the podcast. So yeah, Trevi, you're on it. Like this project has done a great job on it. And more so than anything else, it was built on like the art aspect of what AI art, you know, kind of represents. So it's still connects to those core fibers of this whole space, which I know, you know, mean the most to you, especially Trevi.
If you're listening to this and you don't know too much about Fanzo, obviously, if you're on Twitter, give him a follow. It's at iSocialFans. But he's also got a speaker mastermind season 3 coming up. And if you want to improve as a presenter or a speaker or interviewer, or maybe you want to get paid as a public speaker, if you want to drive leads from free speaking gigs, you can do this by sending Fanzo a DM and joining. It's got a lot of really amazing features to it. I myself, I'm a little bit more comfortable speaking. You know, I think Retail Joe, we spoke about this earlier, just kind of being in front of people and as an educator. But, you know, it's a little bit different when you're on a stage with a bunch of adults and you want to get paid for doing that. I think it's a different mindset kind of going into it. And Fanzo, you know what that's about. And Graham, I want to make sure I saw your hand up a little bit earlier. Graham, I know that you might have had something to add or a question for Sharp or Retail Joe about the apes.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, what kind of a Web3 Oprah would I be? And I'm an Unstoppable Domains whale as well, and a proud UD fam member, and you know, and a Web3 bestie with Liz, you know, who also works at with your partner, right? This is your partner, Unstoppable Domains, and so
technically an affiliate, but yes,
an affiliate, even better, man. You're equal, you're peer, right? And so yeah, I went ahead and sponsored the badge for the AI Apes community, and so now if you own an AI Ape in your wallet, you can go ahead and earn a badge to help yourself rank up the leaderboard and the AI Apes community as well. And so, you know, what better way to Web3 than that? You know, so happy birthday to you.
And believe me when I tell you, that was only part of the overall conversation. We had probably 4 hours or so of content, thanks to our friends at Zealous. It was very easy to transfer that from the Twitter spaces into podcast land. Chop it down, chop it up. But if you really want to get to learn more about the Apes or the AI Apes, check out their Discord, follow them on Twitter. You'll learn a lot more about the different people who came up and spoke today. And a big thank you again to Fanzo for coming up and sharing his insight as an artist and as a contributor to the overall space here in Web3. Awesome from Graham to do something really cool for the Apes team. And big thank you to Sharp Duck and Retail Joe for hanging with me for all of those hours. I know Photox wanted to join us, but Photox was traveling, doing some things, but I know he listened to as much of it as he could. And it was a great celebration, let me tell you, seeing the community come out the way that they did for the 1 year, which was, you know, there were events all that week. So big congratulations again to the AI Apes. Guys are doing some really cool stuff, so don't stop anytime soon in this crazy, mixed up, kind of nerdy, kind of cool, brand new world of NFTs in Web3. And remember, I do have a couple of free or near free drops coming for you, so please continue to look for that on Twitter. One will be from the Meta David. That's going to be his podcast. It's the Dead NFT Artist Society. I'm going to be there for the finale of that as he gears up for his next season of the Blockchain Experience with Meta David. And also unrelated to that, we are going to still have for you an additional NFT that you can claim, or maybe for just a couple bucks. It's going to be a really cool collab I've been working on for a while. It's going to be some music, some art, some stuff we're going to try to reward holders of the journey with, people who are following along, listening to the podcast, and that kind of stuff. Just, you know, because we just want to spread that love. So always try to do what I always try to do. That's, of course, bring one love to Web3. I'll catch you next time. Peace.